Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So today, we're taking your questions and your comments from our viewers. So if you're watching live, it's Monday. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So the question for today's show is this. As Mother's Day is next weekend, the question was, please share your insights on the joys and sorrows of motherhood. And Mother's Day is next Sunday, May 12th. And we wish all of you a very happy Mother's Day. Whether your mom is with you or not, we're grateful for both our moms are deceased, and we're so grateful for our mothers and all the love that they poured into us.
And I don't think we ever pose the question quite like this one. We usually say, speak about your mothers or what motherhood means to you. But joys and sorrows came up, because there's joys for moms and sorrows. There's sorrows for women that desire children but could not have a child. Mm-hmm. There's pregnancy loss, there's miscarriage, there's abortion. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a mixed day of joys and sorrows. And so we want to hear to you at the proper point. You can call us or send us an email.
Yes, which
Let's speak
important.
About our parents. Do we, your mom first.
Well, my mom, her name was Marge, and I lost my mother on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she is, in 2009, we lost her. But her force of love in this life has been extremely impactful in my life.
Yes.
And I
she
feel
was the mother of how many?
She had 8 children. And I think when she died, she had 22 grandchildren.
That's great.
And she didn't have any great grands. I think she had 1 great grand.
I loved
at
your
that
mother.
Time. Yeah, yes. You did. You were a good son-in-law, and she loved you.
And my mom, Martha Esposito Pinto, and she was a great mom to 4 precious children. She died at an early age, 42 years old, when I was 5. And she has a bunch of grandchildren, whether she knows that or not. And she has 2 sets of twins.
Yeah.
She never got to see the sets of twins. I have twins. My brother has twins. But her influence on my life through her life and death are really with me to this day. I had an aunt, Anna, as well,
yes.
as well as a lot of women, my sister Camille, my cousin Patricia, who kind of stepped in when I lost my mom. And Aunt Anna just stepped in. That was my father's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She was married twice, lost her husbands, never had children. But Aunt Anna was a great influence in my life. And that speaks about mothers who aren't biological mothers, but just love, you know, their nieces, their nephews, other people. And she really helped me to understand the face of Jesus. She would look into my face and say, look, Jesus, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, Aunt Anna, come on. And then as I got older and she was moving towards her remaining day, she would always say, look, Jesus. And that's been so important to seek the face of Jesus in every human being. And Aunt Anna taught me that.
And she was a great channel of unconditional love.
Yeah.
She really was.
So various aspects of motherhood. Mother Angelica is a mother,
Mother
right?
Angelica, our blessed mother. How we all need our blessed mother. And some of us maybe have had difficult relationships with our mothers here on earth. And that's where the Blessed Mother can come in and heal your wounds and your brokenness, and let her love you and heal you and make you whole again, that you can experience the fullness of your life. And we're so grateful for Mother Angelica and for her great life of faith. I listened to her this morning as I was in the kitchen, and she was talking about the baby Jesus and Nino, and how she got the word from the Lord. Oh, it was just a beautiful, beautiful show. And she was so very faith-filled, and she loved Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're so grateful for Mother Angelica.
So we want to reflect on motherhood today. We want you to join us and just share with us the joys and sorrows, your reflections on motherhood as Mother's Day is coming up Sunday, May 12th. Give us a call, 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your questions and your comments on our show today. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. You can always send us an email with a question or your comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question for today's show. Please share your insights on the joys and the sorrows of motherhood. And Mother's Day is this coming Sunday, May 12th, and we certainly want to wish you all a blessed Mother's Day. And if you have a mother, please remember to call her and wish her a happy Mother's Day.
Well, Joy, we're going to, well, maybe it's not a deviation from the question of the day. We have with us today Chris Bell with Good Counsel Homes. Joan Andrews Bell and Chris Bell, incredible couple. Joan Andrews is like the matriarch, at least, of the rescue movement, nonviolently and prayerfully sitting in an abortion mills to rescue babies, spent years in prison for this work. And now they started these Good Counsel Homes, unbelievable, for pregnant women out who don't have a home, taking them in. But they've started back rescues called Red Rose Rescues. And Joan got involved with one of these after her time of years in prison, then this stay of going to jail to do this, doing Good Counsel Homes. And she and nine others, and maybe there are more in other states, sat in at a late-term abortion clinic. And Chris will lay this out. Her husband, I think it was like in October of 2020. And then they got sentenced 9/15/23. They were convicted then. They weren't sentenced. They were convicted then. They've been in prison since that time, jail since that time, the nine of these people, eight or nine of them. And now they're facing sentencing next week, I think it is. Chris will tell us. They can get up to 10 to 11 years in prison for rescuing babies. So, Chris Bell, God bless you, brother. It's an honor to have you on with us. We love you. We love Joan and the great work that you all are doing. Just set this in context. What's going on here? Where do we stand currently? What can we do, this EWTN family? Chris?
Oh, God bless you, Jim and Joy, and thank you, and thank everybody here with us. I can simply say that, you know, Mother's Day is also very painful for the many, many women who had an abortion.
Yes.
And we have to remember them in our prayers and in our hearts. They had a child, and a day like today is a really stark reminder, whether they have other children or not. If they chose an abortion, if they were forced into an abortion, as we're finding out many, many women are, or they just didn't know better, it's heartbreaking. And Joan, my dear wife, has always had it in her heart when she first heard, going back to the original Supreme Court decision that allowed it to, it allowed the government to protect abortionists, those who were killing children, to go on. It was in her heart to stop that because, as we know, as every mother knows, the moment of conception, you have a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. And even for those who don't have a faith belief, you know you have a person that's conceived in your womb. And for the love of the children and for the love of mothers, the mothers, to not have them suffer, you know, we want to see abortion end. And we're here to help women in unexpected pregnancy, a tragic situation. And it's not only we, you know, a Good Counsel is four homes in the New York, New Jersey area, but there are hundreds on our website, goodcounselhomes.org. There are hundreds of maternity homes throughout the country. There are thousands of pregnancy centers, and there are pro-lifers throughout. And Joan has always felt if she wasn't going directly to try to save a baby, she wasn't doing enough because, you know, when somebody's being literally dragged off to slaughter, you know, even, you know, writing letters and holding up signs, it's important, it's good in our democratic country, but you know, at the moment that somebody's about to die, you want to do more. And Joan is very courageous and very faith-filled. And as you mentioned, back in October 2020, with a small band of committed pro-lifers, They went into a late-term abortionist office. And even this, many people don't believe or understand. In the United States, in every state and the District of Columbia, where abortion is still protected and promoted and paid for, usually by tax dollars, they're a late-term abortionist. That means the last trimester. And, you know, the lies that, oh, it's because of, you know, some problem, the mother's going to die, it's really never the reason. There's never a reason for an abortion. There's no medical reason. There's no moral, or certainly no moral reason. There's never a reason to kill a child in the womb. And any good medical personnel will tell you that.
Chris, bring us up to speed. We know of Joan's commitment. We know she did that again, sitting in there at a late-term abortion mill. Where is she now? Is there a sentencing coming up this week or next week? What is she charged with? What is she facing?
Thanks. Okay, so the summary there is they were in court in September last year, 2023. They were convicted of, number one, breaking the FACE Act, the Freedom to Access Clinic Entry, which is a euphemism to say you can't go into an abortion mill. And if you do, you're going to get the full force of the federal government on you. And the Department of Justice, under the current administration, has added to that conspiracy charges, which now allows not only a one-year potential jail time for a FACE charge the first time, but 2 years added for conspiracy. So Joan and her companions are facing up to 11 years in jail and hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially in fines. And the conspiracy charges come out of a post-Civil War law, which was to stop those conspirators who were working against the Reconstruction of the South. So it's a cruel form of injustice that they're using laws to really protect people. As the rescuers are trying to protect innocent life to be used. This law is being used against. So they're facing up to 11 years, and it's all this week, May 14th, 15th, and 17th is when the different people, three, four people each day, will be sentenced. Joan's sentencing is on May 15th. And Joan, she wants the message to be, obviously, you know, they're praying for justice, but really more importantly, for Joan and for the others, it's let's pray to end this Holocaust of innocent children being killed. It's not about them being in jail. They're in jail as a witness, but it's more important. Let's end this terrible scourge on our nation.
Chris, thank you for this update. I understand we can go to prolifesociety.net, prolifesociety.net. We can write the judge that's going to give this sentence. The information is there. We can write people that are now incarcerated like Joan. And so prolifesociety.net, we want to mobilize to support Joan, these other 8 or 9 that are in this situation. Chris, God bless you. Joan, your children, thank you for being the witnesses that you are to us. We stand with you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, Jim. God bless you.
Well, it is, and there's something that we can respond and say, what can I do? You can pray, and then you can write this judge. You can contact us, jimandjoy@ewtn.com. We'll forward all that information on to you, because this judge will hold all this.
This judge needs to hear that this is outrageous, that you would give people 11 years. They spent 7 months in jail for rescuing babies. We have a right to this form of protest. We're not violating anybody's civil rights. And we'll get you that information. As Joy said, prolifesociety.net or jimandjoy@ewtn.com. We have some comments of the question of the day.
Yeah, so a person wrote and said, I miss my mom, and I had a good upbringing, and both of my parents were godly. My mom passed away at the age of 88, and she was really ready to see Jesus in heaven. She always had time for Catholic prayers, too. God was gracious to give us that time to be with her at the end. And this is Nana from Facebook. And so, you know, we all have those beautiful, cherished memories of our mothers. I mean, there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I'll hear my mother's voice of, you know, there's something, I'm about to do something, I'll open up a cabinet, I'll do something in my life. And there's just this reminder of Marge, as I would call her, just witnessing to me, and even to my children. We have 4 children. We have 17 grandchildren, and we tell stories. Even if we bake a meal, I was talking to my sister, Carrie, the other day, and she was asking me about pork chops and all this kind of stuff. And so I told, well, if you do it with mashed potatoes and applesauce and corn, that's a Marge meal. And Carrie was like, yeah, that is a Marge meal. Yeah. I'm going to serve it to Kevin. And, you know, because your mom lives with you forever. And if you have bad memories of your mom, ask the Lord to awaken good ones. Because I know there has to be something good that your mother did for you or to you in your life, and that those are the ones that you would remember.
She gave you life.
She gave you life.
That's another comment, Joy.
Motherhood has not always been easy, and I lost my oldest son several years ago. But my grandsons still call me every Mother's Day. Even though it's been hard, I wouldn't give up that experience for the world. And this is from Sandra from Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah, that out of order kind of thing. And when we could say we understand losing a child. We can't say we know what it was like for her to lose her son. But the fact that the grandchildren take up and love her, and she sees and hears her son in them is so important. Pick up the phone. If you can call your mother, do that. Relate to your grandmother. Forgive. Ask God for mercy in your life where the sorrows are in your life. And somehow, some way, may this upcoming Mother's Day be a source of healing and redemption, and cry out to the Blessed Mother who so desires to mother you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, thank you for all of your comments today. You know, we always love to hear from you. Before we wrap up today's show, we're going to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis to hear about the swearing in of the new members of the Pope's Swiss Guard. Joan, what can you tell us about today's ceremony?
Well, hi, Jim and Joy, and greetings from the Eternal City. Now, today, May 6th, is always a special day in the Vatican, because it marks the swearing in of the new Swiss Guards. They do so in the San Damaso courtyard, which is behind me, upstairs a bit in the Apostolic Palace. They do so in the presence, of course, of family and friends and civil and religious officials from Switzerland and from the Vatican. Now, I've been to a number of these ceremonies, and they really are special. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance, but the main moment is when each guard comes and says in his own language. Switzerland has four official languages. Each guard holds up his right hand, three extended fingers symbolizing the Holy Trinity, and his left hand is on the guard, the flag of the Swiss Guard Corps. And of course, he swears to protect the person of the Holy Father and the Apostolic Palace. Now, just several hours from now in the San Damaso courtyard, 34 new recruits will be sworn in, bringing the total membership of the guards up to 135. The Holy Father received them this morning, and he had wonderful words, warm words of friendship and welcome and gratitude for their years of service. And Cardinal Pietro Parolin said Mass for the Corps in St. Peter's Basilica. Now, the reason May 6th is the date for the swearing-in ceremony. This marks the date of the sack of Rome in 1527, when 189 Swiss guards were defending Pope Clement VII from the army of Emperor Charles V. Only 42 of them survived. Now, as the website of the guards explains, the day of the swearing-in ceremony is the high point in the life of each guard. When one swears on the guard flag, wearing the gala uniform and the breastplate, a man swears loyalty for a whole life. Once a Swiss guard, always a Swiss guard, says the site. Now, recruits, of course, they must be Swiss, male, single, Catholic, of unblemished character. They must be between the ages of 19 and 30, and 5'7" or taller, they will serve for 2 years. They will come single, but if they want to marry, they can do so after 5 years of service. Now, their colorful uniforms may seem like an anachronism to many people, but they are not players on a stage. These wonderful men are highly skilled in defensive arts with amazing weapons, and they know everything they can about anti-terrorism techniques. They also receive training, psychological tests to see if they are suitable to adapt to the life of a Swiss guard. Now the guards, they work 6-hour shifts basically, some days 12 shifts, and they only are paid 1,200 euro, about $1,300. Yesterday at the Regina Caeli, Pope Francis referred to them. He greeted the guards and their friends and family members who were in the square. He thanked them for their service, and then he asked everybody in St. Peter's Square to applaud them. And you know what? We too should applaud them, and let's pray for them. These are men. The future years can be a time of a very beautiful growth, spiritual and otherwise, but also many challenges. So when you see a Swiss guard, salute him. Time's up here. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for a wonderful presentation there. Thank God for the Swiss guards and the wonderful models for us to be willing to lay down our lives for Christ and for the church. It's been wonderful to share with you this day, especially about upcoming Mother's Day. May the Lord prepare our hearts and our minds to love our mothers wherever they might be, to love the Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, and to bring peace where we don't have peace about that relationship, and to promote motherhood. Join us next time for an enlightening conversation with Marcia Siegelstein. She will tell us how parents can keep the culture from raising their kids by staying more involved in their own children's upbringing. Don't let the culture raise your children. You are responsible. God will give you the grace that you need. God bless you. God hold you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.